Could you explain how in discerning truth from falsehood, you say the importance isn't based on whether something's pleasing or not, but more on whether it is true or false and to what degree?
Yes. One of the things the ego has to give up is pride. And pride is placed on all opinions. Why? Because it's called mine, my opinion. Well, my, you know, these people write columns called my turn, you know, like the ego's just pulling against the least thing. I want my turn, my turn to get on the bandstand and draw attention, you know, and be important, you know. Yeah, the ego's vanity of being right. Now, is it serious, the ego's desire? Yeah, it survives on being right. In this lifetime, tens of millions of people would rather die than admit they're wrong. You realize that's the biggest killer on the planet? People are more interested in being right than living. And the ego will take a position about trivia. You forgot to pick up bread on the way home. That's the way most marital abuse starts. Every slain mate that you read about, it started out with, you forgot to pick up the rye bread on the way home. No, I didn't. You didn't. You're the one that always forgets. Why are you always blaming me for that? Push, shove, a few drinks, and the head hits the marble table top, and then grief and charge of manslaughter. Yeah, it started out with, you forgot to pick up the rye bread. But isn't that amazing? People would rather destroy everything. Because the ego wants to dominate.
So how do we discreate, then, our ego belief system so that we can function more from truth? How do we do that?
Well, we begin to cherish humility more than pride. Humility is profoundly important. There's two things people don't realize that makes all spiritual work easy. One is humility, divine stupidity. I myself know nothing, frankly. That's a statement of fact, by the way. You of yourself, frankly, don't know anything. You've heard of things. You've been taught things. You believe in things. You've got investment in them. But you yourself don't know. Know with a capital K. Why? Because the only way you can really truly know is to be. Only a cat knows what it is to be a cat. Why? Because it is a cat. Didn't hear about a cat. Didn't read about a cat. Doesn't have beliefs about a cat. It is. So humility, then, realizes the only way I can say anything with absolute certainty is by being that. Huh? The willingness to learn and humility, surrender to God, and the invocation of the will. Now, the spiritual will is the most powerful tool you have. The human will calibrates at whatever level of consciousness the person is at. So if a person is at 190, their will, which is then just a product of the ego, also calibrates at 190. Divine will, however, surrendering one's will to God, divine will calibrates at 850.
Wow.
850 will wipe out almost any egoistic position combined with humility and prayer.
You know, but you say one person of more higher calibration, of more light, is exponentially that much more powerful than many lower.
Not they as a person, but the field. The field is far more powerful. You know?
And then you've just said this about the will of the divine, yet our ego seems so hugely powerful.
What wipes out the ego, then, is willingness, because that opens the door. You say, I myself, O Lord, am unable to understand what this means in my life. And I surrender I ask God, you know, so by invocation and solicitation. Now, as we said earlier, divine law is that of absolute freedom. Divinity does not step in unless asked. You know that? Otherwise, God could just knock out the ego out all, and we'd all be enlightened in about 2 seconds, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
No, divine freedom is that each and every one, by the evolution, by what he becomes, karmically becomes his own destiny. Each one. So the law of freedom is that divinity doesn't intervene. See? God doesn't grab anybody by the neck and say, either believe in me or this. So when you say, dear God, I have my own, do not have the strength to so-and-so, bang, you just open the door. And now you've opened to a spiritual energy that when I calibrate, it comes out at 850. 850 will wipe out just about everything within the human domain. Nothing. Hitler talked about God all the time. Yeah, and so did Churchill, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the fact that everybody invokes God doesn't mean anything. You know, the jihadists today blow up buses loaded with kills, and they do that in the name of God. So
Right. Anybody
can claim God or pray to God, you know. But what they're praying for is some ego position to win. To win. If you pray for the will of God, then you get out of the way, because God's will could be that you get wiped out this lifetime. How are you going to undo negative karma? Think of the karma of all these killers of millions of innocents over the centuries. How are you going to undo that? Because with consciousness research, we've verified over and over that no matter what, you are accountable. You're accountable to the universe. You're accountable to the universe. And there's no way, because you can't get out of the universe. So the spirit, which is part of the universe, now is accountable for the same reason that a magnetic filing lines up within an infinitely powerful electromagnetic field. Just a consequence of what it is. So there's no point in even moralizing it, talking about a moral accountability. It's just a karmic responsibility that you are accountable, even if it wasn't a mistake. If it was not a mistake, then the karmic consequences are going to be considerably less than if you did it, let's say, with evil intent, you know what I'm saying? Malice of intent. But nevertheless, you're still going to have to undo it.
Mm-hmm.
So an act in and of itself, taken out of context, could be seen any way you want to see it. In the ultimate state, it's neutral. You know that? It's neither positive nor negative. We found that out when we calibrated guns. Wouldn't you think guns would be negative? No, there are 200. It's what you use the gun for. Oh, the intention. Knives are at 200. You can stab somebody with it or save somebody's life with it, see? So in and of itself, the tool is neither good nor bad. So the motivation would be, many a person crosses over the line of 200 into courage through the military. War is one of the classic. For women, it's childbirth. For the sake of life, you risk your life. And throughout time, women died right and left. Seldom did you have two or three kids without dying, or at least out of four kids, two of them at least died, or three maybe. A childbirth was highly risky, you know, about as risky as warfare. And childbed fever, even if you got through the birth and the pregnancy, you're very likely going to hemorrhage to death. You're going to get, you know, infection and die of puerperal fever. So classically, childbirth was for the woman to put courage, spiritual courage. For the sake of life, I risk my life and for creation. For man, it's traditionally been war, really. For the sake of your country, for the sake of honor, for the sake of valor, for the sake of your wife, your children, your country, your homeland, you put your life on the line. And you know you've crossed over 200 when you walk into a hail of bullets.
Mm-hmm.
There's a knowingness. People remember past lives. You remember clearly walking into a hail of bullets, and you know you just got deaded. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens? The spirit goes into ecstasy. Cross that one now and forever, because once you cross that line, you crossed it forever.
Wow.
So valor, hara-kiri, anything you do for honor, integrity, for the divine, for love, for God, has a certain transformative issue to it now. From an absolute viewpoint, may not be all that integrous, but that which is served within you was the integrity of the intention. So what may look to the world as tragedy can be to the spirit a great victory.
Mm-hmm.
Walk into a hail of bullets for the sake of God and country. That's what the bagpipes will do for you. That's the sound of the bagpipes. That's why the enemy is chilled to the bone when they hear the bagpipes coming over the hill. Because at 5:10, it says, for the sake of valor, for God and country, for king and family, I'm willing to walk into death. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When you hear that music, you know you're up against it. So the bagpipes at 5:10 have always thrown a great chill in the enemy, because they know what they're up against. This is the cry of the Zulu through the chill of fear in the British troops. Those Zulus were going to, they were going to stop at nothing to get you.
Mm.
Many a Zulu, I'm sure, went right over 200.
Wow.
As he impaled the British around his spear, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Britishers at the same time did the same thing. Now, you see, people don't understand the love of mankind through the heart of valor, see? But you see it after World War II. After World War II, despite all the horrendous things that went on, you know, the veterans of both sides instantly forgave each other, almost instantly. We saluted the valor of the kamikaze pilot, and he saluted our valor. And to this day, there's holidays a couple times a year where both sides get together and salute each other's honor and integrity. So that's the integrity of the warrior. One of the ways to divine service. Of course, later on, as you get more mature, you see divine service, you know, in a somewhat different way.
Mm.
Maybe to avoid war or just to go. It depends on where.